Well, I appreciate your prayers this morning. So thankful for the special songs that we had this morning. Appreciate those who are willing to be used in that way. Certainly want to thank Darlene for being used as well when the Lord puts it on her heart. Appreciate the fact that it isn't always that way. It's like the Lord is really leading her. So I have some thoughts on my heart this morning, and pray the Lord will help me to relate it to you all. I want to preface it by saying that this message challenges me. I'm not going to stand here and say that I'm the utmost example of this message. It challenges me. It encourages me to draw near the Lord and to allow Him to use me and to be a vessel in His hands. So I'd like to start by going to Ezekiel chapter 22. What we have happening here is God is telling Israel and Judah that they're about to go into captivity, and He gives a lot of the reasons why in this chapter as to the sin that had gotten to be rampant in the city and in the nation. It was from the least and to the highest, as far as the rulers and the priests even were contrary to God and doing evil. And in verse 30 it says, "And I sought for a man among them." The Lord searched them out. "I sought for one that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none." God was looking for someone. I think about the days of Noah and how it says that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. But here it's saying that He sought for one to stand in the gap and was unable to find any. "Therefore have I poured out my indignation upon them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their own way have I recompensed upon their heads, saith the Lord God." When I think about one standing in the gap or one standing in the hedge, I imagine maybe a large city that's being attacked. It's under attack. And there's maybe a small breach within the wall. Maybe only wide enough for one person. And I imagine one standing in that breach, defending that breach, that the enemy not be able to enter in. I think of one that's essentially putting themselves in jeopardy over this. They're standing in the gap. They're not seeking to preserve their own selves or hiding somewhere in the city, but they're in the gap. They're standing against the attack. Or they're interceding. Or making themselves available in this distress or in this time of need. Being willing to stand in the gap. You know, I think of our nation and the world in general being similar to what was taking place here in Ezekiel, where sin was rampant. People reject God. They don't want Him and they don't want His ways. Many people maybe make fun of Him. Will He find someone to stand in the gap for our nation and for our world? Let's go to Exodus. Chapter 32. Starting at verse 7. And this is another situation where the people of Israel saw that Moses delayed his coming, and they went about to make themselves a golden calf to worship. And this in verse 7. And the Lord said unto Moses, Go, get thee down. For thy people, which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made them a molten calf, and have worshipped it, and have sacrificed thereunto, and said, These be thy gods, O Israel, which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. They had forgotten all that what God had done for them already, all the miracles that He performed in Egypt. And soon after, this is what they do. In verse 9, the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now therefore let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, and that I may consume them, and I will make of thee a great nation. So here God is saying that it's useless. They're a stiff-necked, hard-hearted people, and I'm just going to consume them, and then I'm going to make a nation out of you, Moses. I think of how many people in that situation maybe would, you know, have righteous indignation and tell God, yes, go about it. Do it, Lord. They're corrupt. They're evil. Look at how they've just rejected you. They've spit in your face, and they're worshiping an idol in your face, God. But that's not what Moses did. And Moses besought the Lord his God and said, Lord, why doth thy wrath wax hot against thy people, which thou hast brought forth out of the land of Egypt? Thy great power, and with thy great power, and with a mighty hand, wherefore should the Egyptians speak and say, For mischief did he bring them out, to slay them in the mountains, and to consume them from the face of the earth? Turn from thy fierce anger, and repent of this evil against thy people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, thy servants, to whom thou swearest by thine own self, and saidest unto them, I will multiply your seed as the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have spoken of will I give unto your seed, and they shall inherit it forever. And the Lord repented of the evil which he thought to do unto his people. And Moses turned and went down from the mount, and the two tables of the testimony were in his hand. And the tables were written on both their sides, on the one side and on the other they were written. And the tables were the work of God, and the writing was the writing of God, graven upon the tables. Moses stood in the gap. The people of Israel were to be accused. They were wrong. What they were doing was wrong. And God, as God, had every right to destroy them. But Moses intervened. And not only on the behalf of the people, but he was intervening for God. He's saying, Lord, Why give the Egyptians an opportunity to speak evil of you? Or to say that you did it so that you can bring mischief upon these people? Glorify your name, Lord. Have mercy on your people. And God did. God had mercy on his people because Moses interceded. Because Moses stood in the gap. Because you could say that Moses essentially was doing an intercessory prayer there before God for the people. You know, we can look at our world today and think they got what they got coming. They're rejecting God. They're spitting in God's face. You know, they don't want the Lord. They don't want his ways. Then they get what they got coming. Or we can be like Moses and say, Lord, help them, Lord. Lord, have mercy on them. Speak to their hearts. Tell them the truth. Don't leave them alone. Don't give them restless nights. Or don't give them rest at night. Wake them up in the night. Speak to their hearts. Bring conviction to them, Lord. We could pray those prayers. We can stand in the gap for the people here in our nation. And it's not the sense of saying that we got to take up a sword and we got to slay people. But we take up the word of God, the sword of truth, and prayer, and we go to battle for each other, for our nation, and for our world, and stand in the gap against the onslaught that's coming against us. But it's not to say that it's an easy task. It's much easier to just sit by and just try to preserve yourself, just try to stay safe, just let me get in, Lord. Just let me be saved. And we ought to give a diligent heed to our own salvation and our own life and making sure that we're in line and that we're ready when he comes. But I believe our responsibility goes further than that because God is looking about for one to stand in the gap. Who will he find? Who will he find that's willing to put themselves in jeopardy maybe? Putting themselves in a position to help or to be used by him. In Psalms 106 and 23 it says, therefore he said that he would destroy them had not Moses, his chosen, stood before him in the breach. To turn away his wrath, lest he should destroy them. I'd have done it if it wasn't for Moses. God himself said that. And he'll do it again if it's not for you or for me. Standing in the gap for someone. Being an instrument in God's hand. You know that we live for something far more and far greater than our daily activities of life? And I know it's hard sometimes to get that in our minds and to really commit our hearts and our lives to it. But it's a reality. Our life is much more than what we eat and drink and what we do and our entertainment or whatever. Our lives are worth much more than that. Our mission is much higher than that. There are people that are going to hell every day. People that we love. People that we know. Areas where we have an opportunity. And I'm going to repeat it. This is something that challenges me. Help me, Lord. Because I can get caught up in my own things very easily. But it's It's important that we remember that there is something greater at stake. And we can be a part of bringing deliverance to people. God, He saves a soul. But He can use us as instruments to reach them. Genesis chapter 18. This is Abraham, where God just comes to Abraham and He visits him. And He asks, should we hide what we're about to do from Abraham? And decides, you know, I'm going to go ahead and share it with him. In verse 20, and the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which is coming to me, and if not, I will know. And the men turned their faces from thence and went toward Sodom. But Abraham stood yet before the Lord. And Abraham drew near and said, wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? I look at this and I thank God for Abraham's relationship with the Lord. That he felt that he could go to God and say, Lord, will you do this? Will you destroy the righteous with the wicked? And he has a discussion with God. Peradventure there be 50 righteous within the city. Wilt thou also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein? And he goes on and he goes on with God. And the Lord says, no, for 50's sake, I'll spare it. And he goes on until he gets down to 10. And Abraham felt like that was a sufficient number. And it turns out that it really was not. Sodom ended up getting destroyed anyways. But Abraham still stood in the gap. And interceded before God and prayed for them. Don't you know that Sodom and Gomorrah was a wicked place? And I think of Abraham's heart that he prayed for them and wanted God to have mercy on them. And to help them. Lord, help them, Lord. Give us a vision, God. A vision that sees like you see. That can look into a person and see beyond what we see on the outside and realize that there's a soul in there. A soul that's in need. A soul that can be delivered and freed. From whatever bondages they're under, God can reach in there. And He can touch a heart. He can touch a life and change them. And we can intercede for that. And ask that God would do that. And we can go even a little further than that. And say, Lord, use me as an instrument for your work. 1 Samuel 23. This is a story of David. Where David's on the run. Saul wants to kill him. But here we have a situation in 1 Samuel 23 and 1. Where David gets word. Then they told David, saying, behold, the Philistines fight against Keilah, and they rob the threshing floors. Therefore David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go and smite these Philistines? And the Lord said unto David, go, and smite the Philistines and save Keilah. You know how easy it would have been for David to just say, you know what, I'm busy. Saul wants to kill me. If I go to Keilah, that exposes me. It'd be much easier if I could just hide out and stay away from Saul. But David felt for the people of Keilah and wanted to save them, wanted to help them, and was willing to put himself at inconvenience, maybe, was willing to be inconvenienced or put out by it. And he actually put himself in jeopardy because Saul did find out that David was there and was going to come get him. He says, oh, great. He's in a walled city. I can come get him. And was on his way. But thankfully, David inquired of the Lord and was able to escape Saul's hand once again. But it just speaks to me of David's willingness to say, you know what? Yeah, maybe it's hard. Maybe it's difficult. Maybe it's going to put me in jeopardy. Maybe it's going to expose me to Saul. But there's a need. These people need me. Who else is going to come and deliver them? Who else is going to come and save them? Lord, will you deliver them into my hands? Lord, can you use me as an instrument for them? Jeremiah 15. And 1. Then said the Lord unto me, though Moses and Samuel stood before me, yet my mind could not be toward this people. Cast them out of my sight and let them go forth. Jeremiah is prophesying in a similar time as Ezekiel. And he's saying that his mind cannot be towards this people. And in Ezekiel, he said that he was unable to find one to stand in the gap. And so, essentially, he's saying that he's going to cast them out from before him. And then in Isaiah 59, starting in verse 12, for our transgressions are multiplied before thee, and our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us, and as for our iniquities, we know them. In transgressing and lying against the Lord and departing away from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood, and judgment is turned away backward and justice standeth afar off. For truth is fallen in the streets and equity cannot enter. Pretty dire situation. Yea, truth faileth. And he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. And the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no judgment. And he saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness it sustained him. I thank God that He brought salvation to us through Jesus Christ, the gap filler. You know, although there was no one that could stand in the gap, there was really no one who could be a real intercessor for the people to really deliver them from their sins other than Jesus Christ. The deliverance that they needed was through the blood of Christ. One who was willing to lay his life down, to put himself in jeopardy, to allow himself to be ridiculed and beaten and killed for you and for me. One who was willing to stand in the gap for us, that we might be saved. That blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Thank the Lord for salvation. Thank the Lord that we have that story, that Jesus Christ came and died for you and for me. But it was because someone was willing to stand in the gap for you and for me. That's why we're saved today. That's why we have the salvation of our souls. Did we deserve it? No. We deserve to be destroyed, similar to that of Israel, because of their sins, because of their iniquities. But God had mercy on you, and He had mercy on me. The Scriptures talk about Jesus being the intercessor for us, a mediator between us and God. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that He stands in the gap for you and for me. I was thinking about Nehemiah, and in Nehemiah is chapter 3. We're not going to go and read it, but when they were trying to rebuild the city of Jerusalem and building the wall around Jerusalem, because it was basically exposed. It had gaps all throughout it because the enemy had come in and essentially destroyed the city. And so Nehemiah, what he had done was the people that were there, he organized them, and he said each one in a particular place around the city. And each one had a task of restoring a breach that was within their section. And he did it throughout the whole wall. And each had their tasks of filling the breach. And I imagine us as the body of Christ, each one of us having a responsibility or an area of protection. An area that we won't allow the enemy to enter in through because of us being an instrument of God, being willing to stand and jeopardize ourselves to protect that breach. May the Lord use us. Each one had their responsibility. If they failed to fulfill their responsibility, that's a breach. And they had the enemy that was seeking about, wondering about how to attack them during this process, because they saw that God was blessing their hands and was enabling them to restore the breach, to get the city back in a protected state. But they each one stood and protected their area. We are in a day and time where God is looking once again for gap fillers. Jesus Christ stood in the gap for you, and He stood in the gap for me. And He wants us to do the same for someone else. Freely you have received, freely give. I'm reminded of a scripture in Isaiah chapter 6. And I always get encouraged when I read this scripture. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 5. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. He had just had a vision of God sitting upon His throne with His train. His train filled the temple, it says. And he's imagining himself being unclean before a holy God, a righteous God. And this is what the Lord did. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar, and he laid it upon my mouth, and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thy iniquity is taken away. Thank the Lord, and thy sins are purged. Do you know that when Christ comes into your heart, into your life, His blood is applied upon you and you are washed and clean from your iniquity and from your sin? That it no longer stands against you? But that you are literally purified before God? That's the intent of what God did. He didn't do it so that that sin would just remain upon you. But He says He washes us and cleanses us from all unrighteousness. And so we have a small picture of that here. Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send?" It's like He's listening in on God's conversation and the Lord is talking amongst those around Him saying, "Who can I send?" It's like what we already read where He was seeking for one who would stand in the gap. "And who will go for us?" He says. "And then said I, here am I. Send me." I love that. Isaiah listening in to the conversation of God, saying, "Who shall we send?" And immediately he thinks within himself and he wants the Lord to use him. He wants God to send him. May the Lord help us to have that heart too. When we're able to see a need, when we're able to see a breach, or a situation where someone needs deliverance, and being willing in that moment, and having a heart prepared beforehand, let me add, so that when that moment comes, we're prepared to stand in the gap and be ready for God to use us. Because I've had instances where I have run across opportunities. And because it happened so quickly, I failed to act in time. And so I say, may the Lord prepare our hearts ahead of time. That we're ready. So that when that situation comes, that we can already have a prepared willingness in our minds and in our hearts that we will be an instrument for God in those times and allow Him to use us. And I'll say that not every one of us is the same in how God is going to use us. There's each one of us in a different breach around this city or around the church or in the church where God is going to use you as an instrument in a situation that maybe He won't use me and vice versa. But each one of us has to have a heart willing and ready for God to use us in the place that He has us. The Lord's not asking me to sing a special song. And thank the Lord for that. I enjoy singing, but I'm not going to say I'm very good at it. And I love to sing special songs because I feel like the presence of God is on me when He calls me to do that. And so I always love to be in the presence of the Lord, under the anointing of God, doing what God is asking me to do. There's a fulfillment in that, a joy in it. I remember when I was younger and I was zealous for the Lord and was ready for God to use me in any moment. I was like what I'm saying. I was prepared ahead of time. I was ready. I was seeking God for it. Lord, give me an opportunity. My eyes were open for it. I was waiting to see the opportunity. I was expecting God to answer that prayer. And when I went out, sure enough, there was an opportunity. One, because God provided it, and two, because I was looking for it. And we met together, and the Lord was able to use me in instances where I could go back and rejoice because of what God had done. We can be used of God. And that's not a burden. That's not a heavy weight upon us, but it's a blessing. And I'm sure many of you know of that blessing. of knowing when the Lord has used you as an instrument, whether it was successful or not, whether it was received or not, or you saw the fruit from it or not. You knew in that moment that you were used of God. And there's a fulfillment in that. And it's not a position of pride to say, well, God used me. But it's a position of thankfulness that we can be used of God and be of service in His kingdom because of all of what He's done for us, the many blessings that He's done for us, the way that He provides for us, the fact that God has a hedge about us. And I know that we can go around this room and talk about the blessings of God in your lives, of all the things that God does for you. And we do Wednesday nights. And we hear of how God is blessing each one of you. And He's blessing me too. Certainly, out of thankfulness to God, we could say, here am I, Lord. Send me. I know there's something bigger than me, Lord, in this life. I know there's a higher purpose in all this. There's much more involved in what's taking place in this life than my everyday activities. I was thinking about it recently in the Wednesday night service. Somebody stood up and they testified. And they said that, I'm just going to put his name out there, Brother Philip made a statement and said, I'm not going to let the devil do that to you. That's standing in the gap. That's getting your hands a little dirty and saying, you know, I know this isn't really my fight. It's your fight. And I could easily say, you know, it's not my fight. I'm going to go and I'm going to do something else. Or I got my own stuff to worry about. But rather saying, no, I'm not going to let the devil do this. I'm going to stand with you and I'm going to fight with you and we're going to get through this together. I think of different ones who invest themselves into things, into people, into an extreme. Sometimes I look and think, wow, it's amazing how much investment is there for one soul. But I imagine also that the blessing from that of God and knowing that they can be used of Him to a benefit that maybe saves one soul and a family as a result. And who knows how far after that it goes. People who are willing to invest themselves. Heard again recently in Wednesday night service. I'm going to throw his name out there too. Brother Michael, it's going to the Hope House. And the joy in his voice of what God is doing with one man. That God is at work. And he gets to see it because he's saying, Lord, send me. He gets to see it because he's saying, Lord, use me. Give me an opportunity. Let me see it. And let me act upon it. Let me walk in what you have given to me to do. Make me an instrument in your hands to stand in the gap. Is it easy? Absolutely not. It's inconvenient many times. And we could easily say, I'm busy. I got enough things to do already. My plate is full. Or we could say, Lord, use me. Lord, send me. Make me an instrument in your hands. There's something bigger than you and there's something bigger than me that's going on in this world, in this life. And it's important that we see that vision. It was important for you and it was important for me that I realize what's at stake in this life, in eternity. An eternity that goes beyond our 50, 60, 70, 80 years of this life. We get so caught up in these years because it's easy to us to see it. We see it. But we have an eternity that's awaiting us. And it's not just for you or me, but that eternity awaits for those out there. Those who are obviously contrary to God. Who we can easily say, they just got what they got coming. They're rejecting the Lord. They're rejecting the truth. They're rejecting righteousness. They want to just do whatever they want to do and they think it's okay. Or we can say, Lord, have mercy on them. Help me to be an instrument, Lord. Help me to see opportunities. Help me to know how I can be involved in this. That someone else could be saved. Freely I've been given, may I freely give. Galatians 6 and 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one. In the spirit of meekness. You see someone that's taken in a fault. Get your hands dirty a little bit. Be willing to intervene. Be willing to say, I'm not going to let the devil do this to you. I'm not going to stand by and watch the devil treat you like this. Or manipulate you like this. Or bring you back into bondage. But no, I'm going to be here. And I'm going to help you restore. Considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. May the Lord help us to be a gap filler. And I'm going to say it again. This message challenges me. Because I know, I've already said it, there's been opportunities for me that I've seen somebody standing on the side of the road and thought, you know what, invite them to come to church. We're having a meal at church today, why not take them? Tell them, look, we're going to have lunch today. Would you like to come and have service with us? And then you can have a meal after service. And in the process, as I'm thinking about it, here I go driving right by. Because I didn't have a heart and a mind prepared ahead of time to know when that situation arises that I could do that. And it's just it's an ability for me to see, Lord, that there are opportunities there. And I want to be an instrument. I want to be used. I want to facilitate those opportunities when I can. Lord, give me a heart and give me a mind to be ready when I see those doors open that I could be an instrument in your hands. So I appreciate your prayers. I thank you, Lord, for your attention this morning.